every special occasion that is customary to give gifts, my children and I go through the same routine. My children will say to me, "Dad, what do you want for Father's Day or your birthday or Christmas? Dad, what do you want?" And I always say the same thing. I always say, all I want for Father's Day, all I want for my birthday, all I want for Christmas is respectful and obedient children. But since I can't have that, I'll take a pair of socks and some body wash. In reality, I am overall very pleased with the relationship that I have with my children. Because, by and large, the relationship that I have with my children features the things that I think we all want in any relationship. The things that we share together, the relationship that we have, features three things that I think, if you have a relationship with someone, if you love someone, the things that you want to characterize that relationship, I think there are three main things. Obviously, in any relationship, we want to be loved. We want the other person to feel love toward us and to act in a loving way, to speak and act, to respond in a loving fashion. We want love from people that we are in any relationship with. The second thing we want is for them to talk to us. Now, sometimes we might like for them to talk a little less, sometimes maybe a little differently, but you know how it is when you care about somebody and they will not talk to you. They won't open up. They won't express themselves. They won't tell you what they're thinking. Or there's a part of their life that's closed off, that there's something that they will not share with you. But talking, when you have someone that you love and they will talk with you and share with you and open up to you, it's very important part of a relationship. The third thing is spending time together, right? You can't have any of that if you don't spend time together. You want to be together. You want to be as much as possible in each other's presence. You want that physically. And if you can't have that physically, you do it. Now we can do it virtually and we can watch each other on FaceTime and that sort of thing. Or we can talk on the phone. But these are the three things that we want. If you have a relationship with somebody that you care about, what you want is for them to love you. You want for them to talk to you, and you want to spend time together. What would you think if I told you that God wants to do all of those things for you and with you? That God, the God of heaven, the Creator, the Lord, the King, the God, the infinite, almighty God, wants to have a relationship with you and wants to give you all of those things. This is what Jesus said in our text for this morning, John chapter 14, if you want to take a Bible and turn to John chapter 14. Jesus said that these are the things that God is offering us in a relationship with Him. Jesus said that the person who is in a relationship with me, Jesus said, I will love him and my Father will love him. You have any idea how rare it was in the ancient world to hear the talk of God's loving people who serve them? This was not part of the thinking of the religious world in ancient times, that a God would love me. But Jesus said, we want to love you. Jesus said, if you will be in a relationship with me, Jesus said, I will disclose myself to you. I will open up and share with you myself, my knowledge, my words, my presence. Jesus said, I will come and spend time with you. Jesus said, if we're in a relationship, we will spend time together. And we will be in each other's presence because he said we will come to him and make our abode with him. Jesus said that when we are in a relationship with him, We get those three things we all want. When we're in a relationship with Jesus, He loves us, He talks with us, and He spends time with us. So the question we might ask is, well, how can I do that? How can I have a relationship? How can I know that I have that relationship? If you asked a group of people, raise your hand if you know that you have a relationship with God, and every person that raised their hand, you took them aside and put them in a room and said, tell me, how do you know that you have a relationship with God? How do you know that you are right with God? Tell me how you know that you have a relationship with Jesus. There are all kinds of answers that you might get. A lot of people would point to feelings and emotions. I'm not discounting the reality of feelings and emotions as part of a relationship with God. What I am suggesting is that this cannot be the basis. That you cannot say, I feel like it, and so it must be true. But this is what a lot of people will point to. I feel good. I have positive emotions. I think the Bible would speak otherwise. What we're going to see this morning would be different than a lot of people would point to church membership. I'm a member of a church. I'm a member of the church. And I go. I attend church. And I'm active in church. And I do the things that the church does. Therefore, I am right with God. Some people would point to physical blessings. Some people would say, well, God has blessed me. Things are going well. I have an abundance, so God must be okay with me. Other people would say, well, I know the Bible. I can quote verses. I know what the Bible says. I can tell you what's in the Bible. So I must be right with God. Other people would point to spiritual experiences or worship experiences. I go to church and I get emotional and I feel good about things, so I know that everything's right with me and God. And it might surprise you to know what Jesus actually said about that in John chapter 14. And what He said was that what it takes and what defines a relationship with Jesus and a way that you can assess your relationship with Jesus is by your level of obedience to Jesus. This is what He said in John 14. Now, we'll get some context about that before. Well, let's do that first. So, Jesus is going away. This is what He has told the disciples, so we can picture in our minds that Jesus is with the 12, at this point actually the 11. Jesus is with the 11. They're in a room. They've taken the Lord's Supper, what will become the Lord's Supper, the Passover. And Jesus is there with the 11. He's told them that He's leaving. And He says to them that things are going to be different now. I'm going away, and things are going to be different now. And you know, one of the ways that things are going to be different is we got to figure out a way to know who's a follower of Jesus and who isn't. I mean, think about for those 3 years when Jesus was on the earth, what was sort of the baseline way of figuring out if somebody was a follower of Jesus? Well, they were literally following Jesus. I mean, they were literally with Him. You could see them with Jesus. They were following along with Him. But now Jesus is going to be gone. How are we supposed to know who is a follower of Jesus? How can I assess my relationship with Him? This is what He addresses in John chapter 14. And what He's going to say is that it hinges on our obedience. Now, it's important to note what we mean when we say obedience. We can never mean perfection. We can never mean perfect obedience, because that can never be any of us. When we're talking about obedience, we're talking about living an obedient lifestyle. You know the difference between an obedient child and a disobedient child. You know the difference between those two. My daughter has always been the easy one. I've got a girl and two boys. They're all adults now. My youngest is 21. And so we can look back on a large body of work and see kind of how things went. And I can tell you without any hope of disagreement, my daughter has always been the easiest one. Always. People who say, I don't want girls. Girls are hard. I don't want to raise girls. I don't know what they're talking about. My daughter has always been super easy. She has all, now not perfect now, but she's always been obedient. She has always been the obedient, easy to get along with. Generally, she'll do what she's supposed to do. Now, she has never been perfect in her obedience. She's never been perfect. She's never gotten everything right. And the older she's got, the sassier she's got. She's got a little bit of, you know, she always had some fight back in her, and it's a little bit more of that now. She's in college, and she knows everything, and we don't, and all that kind of stuff. But still, she's still the easiest. But when I tell you that my daughter is an obedient child, you would never take that to mean that she's perfect. You know she's not perfect. You know that she can't be perfect, but she is obedient. What God wants from us is that sort of idea of obedience. We're never going to be perfect. But God wants to look at us and say, there's my obedient child. That's an obedient child. That's what we're talking about when we talk about obedience in this context. So there are three things that Jesus is going to say in our text in John chapter 14 and beginning in verse 15. And here is what he says. First of all, I want you to notice verse 24, what Jesus says about His words. John 14 and verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus' words were the Father's. Jesus did not make up His message. He got it directly from the Father. The second thing that we will see Jesus tell us, and the most important part of this passage, is that our love for Jesus is proven not by saying it, I love the Lord, not by singing it, oh how I love Jesus, not by an emotional feeling, I feel good. Our love for Jesus is assessed based upon our attitude toward what He says. And then finally, when we obey Him, that is what brings the blessings of God. So let's just talk briefly about these three things, and that'll be that. So Jesus' words are from the Father. If that is the case, what do we know about His words? If Jesus' words are from the Father, that's true. What do we know about the words of Jesus? Well, I would suggest three things. Number one, we know that they are true. If Jesus is saying the Father's words, then they must be true. There is nothing that Jesus says that we can question. There's nothing that Jesus says that we can doubt. There's nothing that Jesus says that we can say, He almost got it. But really, it's this way. The words of Jesus are perfectly true. Secondly, the words of Jesus are authoritative. By that I mean they are the final answer on every issue. The words of Jesus are the final answer on every issue. Not Google. Not the government, not our current cultural understanding, not those who are considered authorities in our society, not your personal experience or mine, not current scientific thinking, not the way that we've always done it. If the words of Jesus are the words of the Father, then the words of Jesus are true. They are true, and they are authoritative. They are the final answer on everything that He talks about. The words of Jesus are binding. The words of Jesus are binding. That is, we are required to live by them. If Jesus said it, you are required to do it. If Jesus said it must be done, then you must do it. You are required to live by them. And when we do not obey the words of Jesus, punishment follows. The words of Jesus are binding. That includes, by the way, the words of the apostles. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 37, the things that I write to you are the Lord's commandment. The words of Jesus are also expressed in the words of the apostles. We are not allowed to say simply, if Jesus said it, I will obey it. If Paul says it, I will argue it. If Paul says it, I can reject it. If Paul said it, that's his opinion. Jesus spoke through the apostles as authoritatively as he spoke when he was on the earth. And when we understand those things, we have to understand the relationship between the words of Jesus and our love for him. Here is what Jesus says in John chapter 14. Jesus said that he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Jesus said that the one who loves me is the one who has my commandments and keeps them. Now, I think that we have sort of blown past those phrases too much. And I want to take a moment and think specifically and precisely about what exactly Jesus means by them. What does he mean when he talks about a person who has his commandments? Well, he's talking about someone who has gone to the trouble to acquire them. You can't have something if you haven't acquired it. You can't have something if you haven't gotten it. And when Jesus talks about a person who has his commandments, he's talking about a person who's gone to the trouble to know what Jesus says. Do you go to the trouble to hear and learn what Jesus says? Are you listening to what Jesus says? Do you seek out his words? And seeking them out and hearing them, do you then possess them? Do you keep them? Do you understand them? Do you understand them? Do you study the Word of God? And not just know what he said, do you understand what the Bible says? Do you accept what the Bible says? Without question. Having read it and understood it, do you simply say, that's the truth, I accept it, and then make it a part of who you are? That's what it means to have his commands. What it means to keep his commands means to hold on to them. Now that you have them, it means you will not let them go. Now that you have them, you will guard them against everyone who would attack them, everyone who would question them, everyone who would challenge them. And having understood the words of Jesus, you will obey them. That's what he means. Well, let's take that and apply that to a specific passage, remembering that Jesus said, if you have my commandments and keep them, you are the one who loves me. He flipped it around and said it the other way. He who does not love me does not keep my words. So let's apply that to a specific passage. Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 to 6. Where Jesus was answering a question about divorce, and he said that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Did you know that Jesus said that? Were you aware that this is the teaching of Jesus on marriage? Did you know that this is how Jesus addressed the issue of a relationship between a man and a woman? Did you know that? Have you acquired that knowledge? Have you read that? Are you aware of what Jesus teaches? Do you understand it? Do you understand what the passage means? Do you understand what he means that he made them male and female? Do you understand the import of that? Do you understand the significance of that? That he made them male and female? Do you understand what it means for a man to leave mom and dad and to be joined to his wife? You understand what that means? That now your primary relationship, not with mom and dad anymore, now it's your spouse. Do you understand that? Do you understand what it means that the two are one flesh? Do you understand what it means that if God has joined you, that you cannot be separated? Do you understand what Jesus said? Do you accept it? Do you accept that? Do you hear what Jesus said and just accept it? Or do you say, well, part of that I like. Part of that, I don't really agree with that. I don't think that's how it is really. Or do you just accept it and make it part of who you are? Do you hold on to it? And do you guard it? Is there anything in that passage that's under attack today? Is there anything in that passage that people are trying to eliminate from our cultural practice and understanding? We could go through that passage word for word and understand that that passage and the teaching of that passage is under attack. Every single word of it is under attack. Have you accepted it? Are you willing to guard it? Are you willing to hold on to it against all of the pressure, all of the media, all of the entertainment industry, all of our culture, many of our friends who are against what Jesus taught? This is what it means to have them and keep them. Are you willing to obey it? Are you willing to do what Jesus is teaching in this passage? This is what it means to have and to keep His commands. Does this describe you? Are you doing what Jesus has taught in this passage? Well, when you do, and you're obedient, that's when you receive the blessings that we were talking about earlier. When you receive and obey the commands of Jesus, Jesus said, I will come to you and I will disclose myself to you. We will have an open relationship together. I will love you, he said, and my Father will love you, and we will live together. We'll live together. We'll do life together. We will be together on a permanent basis. Now, what specifically does all of this have to do with us, and what do we do with it? We'll talk about that in conclusion in just a moment. The next week, so we'll be, Lord willing, Isaiah and I'll be at camp next week, but the week after, we'll start a new sermon series, very much looking forward to Jesus Leads His People. We'll begin with Jesus leading us to the Promised Land. That'll be in a couple of Sundays. Tonight, we will be in Newport. We'll be meeting at the meeting place of the Newport Church of Christ in Newport. We invite you to come and be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to be talking about the book of Ezra in chapter 2. You know, our culture is very much against the idea that anyone should be excluded from anything. Our culture is very much a culture that believes everybody is included and everybody gets to be in everything. The Bible just doesn't teach that. And each of us as individuals needs to ask ourselves, do I belong to the people of God? Do I belong? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight and see from Ezra chapter 2. These are the promises that Jesus has made to us. Jesus wants to love you. He wants to disclose Himself to you. He wants to live with you on a permanent basis. And He has talked about how that works in John chapter 14. The main thing that we need to focus on as we conclude is this point. Whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus depends upon your attitude toward His words. Whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus depends upon your attitude toward His words. What is your attitude toward the words of Jesus this morning? Do you have a Bible study habit. Because that's where His words are. We can't just close our Bible and put it on the shelf and just hope that God is going to speak to us in some way. The words of Jesus are contained in the Bible. And we hear the words of Jesus when we read and study the Bible. And hearing the words of Jesus requires a Bible study habit. Do you study the Bible as a habit? As you do, do you use effective Bible study practices? Do you know how to study the Bible? Do you know how to read the Bible and understand not what does it mean to me today, but what does it mean and what do I actually do with it in my own life? Once you've read the Bible and understood the Bible, do you accept it fully? And do you believe what you learn? Do you accept it or do you question it? This is what James was really talking about when he said, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This is what James was really talking about. He's talking about our interaction with the Word. And when we hear God speak, are we quick to hear it, anxious to hear what God has said? Or do we talk back to it? Do we argue with it? Do we give reasons why it doesn't mean that or doesn't apply to me? Do we accept fully what Jesus has said? And then finally, do we obey it? Do you do what you know? I would ask you this morning, as we're singing this song, the song that Jay announced, we're going to sing that in just a second. And I would ask you, as we sing that song, to consider these questions. Where are you in that process? Where are you in the process of having and keeping the words of Jesus? You have a Bible study habit? Do you know how to study the Bible? When you read it, do you know how to understand what it says? Do you accept what it says fully and believe in what it says? And are you obeying what it says? Where are you in that process? And if you find that you are coming short of any part of that essential process of hearing the words of Jesus, this is a great time to make a decision. We talked this morning in our Bible class about how God has set up the world in such an amazing fashion that we constantly have a chance to start over again. Here we are in the morning. You've got the rest of the day to get things right. What a wonderful chance to start over. Here we are on the first day of the week. We got a fresh week out in front of you. Whatever you did last week, whatever you didn't do, whatever you messed up, whatever you got, guess what? It's gone. Here we are on the first day of the week. God has given us an opportunity to say, I'm going to do things differently this week. This is your chance to make that commitment and to do the things it takes to have and to keep the words of Jesus. And if you just don't know how, or you feel like you can't do it, that's what we're here for. So as we're singing the song, I hope that you will make a decision about what it is that you need to do. And if we can help you carry out that decision, we want to do that. We'd love to help. We'd love to talk to anyone privately after church. Or you can come forward and take a seat on the front as we stand and sing.